King's kid, amen. When around, I don't know if it was around the 60s or 70s, maybe Charlene might remember, it was a big thing to be a King's kid. There were even books on how to be a King's kid. So I hadn't thought about it for a while, but I said, you know, I want to be a King's kid. I want to live in God's kingdom. Amen. That's where you are if you're a King's kid. So anyway, and I was listening to one of the prophets, and he was, I can't remember what he was ministering on, but he had so much joy. I mean, the guy was just overflowing with joy. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty happy person, but I don't think I have that much joy. God, I want joy. I want joy like that. Well, we know the joy of the Lord, that the in Nehemiah it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need that strength. Well, why do we need strength? Because we're in a tremendous battle. We're in the battle not only for our souls, but for our family souls, for the nation's soul. We're in a battle. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you need strength today. You got to get some joy. How do we get joy? Well, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, the fruits of the Spirit begins to work in our lives as God wills, and the fruit, and He begins to cultivate those fruits in our life. And that can be pretty scary at times, because I remember years and years ago, we were crossing the country, and we're out in the middle of the Utah desert, and I'm thinking, and it's got the Oregon Trail on the map. That's when you use maps. As a matter of fact, somebody was talking about that. Joan, I think, and I were talking about maps. That we used to go across the country or anywhere you got a map. Every year we would get a new one. And you would go wherever you wanted to following this map. Such a novel thought. We were going there, and it said the Oregon Trail. And it was such a miserable part of the country. I mean, it was desert, the Utah desert. And I'm thinking, God, how did any of those people ever make it across the country? Because I'm complaining in an air-conditioned car. And can you imagine in a little wagon going across the country? And I'm thinking, God, you made them so strong. They had to be strong to do that. But they did it, obviously. The country's populated. So they did get across. But anyway, I wanted to pray about a couple of things that God has put on my heart recently. Obviously, healing. So many of God's people need to be healed. And it's not from a hangnail. They have real serious problems. And God wants to heal. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. And God wants to heal us. Also, I felt like God, and we did this last Sunday, but I want to do it again, is a lot of God's kids and a lot of the kids, if you're living, you're having problems, right? But a lot of God's kids have had enormous, well, with inflation, but also their insurance has went up enormously. Their taxes have went up enormously. Their insurance, just all of this. And not to mention your utilities and everything else. And the Lord just put in my heart that we need to release financial blessings over each other and over our stuff. If you are a giver in God's house, if you are faithful in God's house, then you are entitled to the blessings that come by being God's child. Amen. And there are blessings that God just gives us. Amen. So I want to pray about that, and also just for peace. So many people need peace, but we need peace. I was talking about, you know, Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why do we need strength? Because we're in a tremendous battle. We're in a battle for the very soul of this country. We're in a battle for the world. Think of what you would be if you were in a church service in Ukraine this morning. And you have Russia coming across the border any second. Do you think they're on their knees praying? Amen. We have serious things going on in the world today. Serious things. And without God, we're not going to make it. But with God, we can do all things. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's get some joy, folks. Amen. Not just pretend joy, but the joy of the fruit of the Spirit. And we were talking about this Wednesday night some, and I was saying, you know, if you want to make me happy, just buy me an ice cream cone. And I'm pretty happy, you know, like I am happy, at least while I'm eating the ice cream cone. Isaac was over visiting me the other day. That's one of my great-grandsons. And we are so much alike. I made us ice cream cones, and we're sitting there eating ice cream cones. I got the cookies out. We ate cookies. And I said, gosh, you are so much like me, Isaac, because he likes what Grandma likes. But that's, you know, obviously that's not anything compared to world issues. You know, whether I get an ice cream cone or not is no big thing. And that's not joy. That's not what we're talking about. Joy is something that's lasting, something that lasts even in extreme circumstances, we can have joy, and we need joy. And that's what I really want to talk about. So anyway, the sermon notes are on the back. But Lord, right now we pray, we agree. Can we agree for God's healing power to come forth in Jesus' name? Lord, right now we release financial blessings on your people. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're not limited to anything that would be in our imagination. You're not limited. You own this whole universe. And Lord, I speak financial blessings over your people. I thank you for miracles and miracles. Lord, unusual miracles. And Lord, over the healing power. Father, your children need to be healed. They need to be set free from so much. And Lord, we just release that power in Jesus' name. We release peace, Lord, not only individually, but collectively, over our churches, over our people, over this nation, over the world, Lord. Because you say you are the Prince of Peace. You came and established your kingdom on this earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So God has been so good to me, and I'm such a blessed child. I want to go over a couple little notes I wrote down here. And one is that in Matthew, we hear about the kingdom. This is the first time we hear about the kingdom in Matthew. It says that John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. And then Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that wherever the kingdom is, wherever is where God is king. Is God king over this kingdom? Over our individual kingdoms? Is God king over your kingdom today? Are you submitting are you bowing your knee to God's kingdom? I pray so, because there's a lot of blessings that comes with God's kingdom. Amen. It says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's what we want, right? We want God's kingdom here. We want God's kingdom set up. It says the kingdom, okay, it says, so we are kingdom kids. When we are adopted into the family of God, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, which is such an awesome thing. I mean, can you believe this, that there's a God in heaven that would choose us to be his children out of all the people on the earth? And there's over 7 billion people here on this earth. And I don't know how many of us are Christians, but we belong to this special kingdom. Now, I happen to be an admirer of Queen Elizabeth. I think she's an awesome lady. And my gosh, I think she's going to be 95. I think she's the longest monarch that they've ever had, 70 years. Can you imagine having the same job for 70 years? And she's done it so well. She's just such an awesome lady. And I love her. And she's went through a lot. Can you imagine? So anyway, and you had to be born into that family to be a part of that monarch. But when we are adopted into the kingdom of God, no matter where we started, it doesn't matter if we're an untouchable in India or wherever we're at, we come into the kingdom. We come into the family of God. So we are brought into the kingdom of God. So we become kingdom kids. We become the elite of the universe. Isn't that neat? You say, you don't know who I am. My Father owns it all. And all he has to do is speak it and it's done. Amen. So we are blessed, family. You are a blessed family. You are blessed in Jesus. I mean, and it's so wonderful, because it doesn't matter our status. It doesn't matter. We could be one of the wise men, or we could have been one of the shepherds. It didn't matter. God has accepted us all into his family. And isn't that one? We are so blessed. We are so blessed to be a part of the family of God. And so that brings us into, where's this? Okay, let's go to our first scripture here. It's either on the bulletin or up here. And it's James. And James is really a neat book. If you haven't read it, you need to. James 5, 13 through 15 says, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So it says, is anyone among you suffering? There shouldn't be, but if there is, this is the answer. Let him pray. Is anybody cheerful? Well, we should all be cheerful, because we have so much to be cheerful about, because we are saved people. We are rich indeed. We are so rich indeed. You say, well, oh, I don't know. Are you really rich? Yes, I'm really rich. You might not think that if you came to my house, but I'm really rich. It says, okay, is anyone among you sick? There shouldn't be, but in case there's somebody sick, let him call for the elders of the church. So God shows us what to do in every situation. God doesn't want his children to be sick. It's not his will that we are sick. We live in a fallen world, and just because we live in this fallen world, a lot of problems come our way. A lot of diseases, I think, sort of leeches on us as we go by this world. But God doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to remain sick. So if we are sick, if we are suffering, we have the answer, and that's Jesus. We can go to Jesus, and he's already taken care of all those problems. Amen? Amen. So if you want to be a king's kid, and we are king's kids, so in Colossians, I got Colossians 3:12, and I want to say something. Do you guys enjoy your devotional book? How many of you reading your devotion? Isn't it awesome? I love it. I think I was talking to some of that. I mean, it is so neat. If you didn't get one, we'll get Pastor Paul to order some more. I don't know where he got them from, but they're wonderful. And so this, as a matter of fact, these scriptures were in that they had a series. Usually they take two or three scriptures and they cover it for several days. But anyway, this is what we're supposed to be if we're a king's kid. And we're all king's kids here, right? So this is where we're supposed to be. And if you don't have your bulletin, it's right here on the, that's Colossians 3:12 through 17. So anyway, what we're talking about is being a king's kid today, being in that super family that we are in. So whatever your need is today, reach out and grab it. Say, God, I'm believing for that. I'm believing for that. I need it. We have many, many, many people that need lots and lots of, and their needs are great. The needs are just really just scary in a sense. Once you hear it, you think, oh my goodness. And you just pray, what can I do? What can I do? And as the Lord, you know, I love what Mother Teresa said. She said, you might not be able to feed the world, but you might be able to feed one person. Well, obviously, we can't feed the world. We don't know how many people we can feed, but we try to feed whoever we can. We try to help whomever we can. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about this little church is that we are givers. And not just Victory. Every church I know, I mean, I worked out of the Christ United Methodist Church for years in Council on Aging. And I would occasionally go in the office to do something, and they would be on the phone. The secretary would be on the phone talking to somebody that needed help. So it's not just us. And then Ferris Hill Baptist does this awesome thing. They take in they have the cold weather shelter. And Sandy works with that. And I have worked on occasions when they couldn't find anybody else. She said, can you come over? But they do an awesome work. They take in these people that have nowhere to go, that it's freezing outside, and they put them up. They feed them. They take care of them. And that's an awesome thing. And one day, perhaps, God will allow us to do that when we are fully, God has to send in the people. We just can't do it, God. But if he wants us to do it, he will send in the people. It will all work out. So anyway, the needs are great, but God is greater. Amen. But as we are opened up and we can help, we want to help. We want to be that person. But anyway, Colossians 3:12 through 17 tells us that what we are to be, as we are maturing in the Lord, as we are these king's kids. And it's so neat because God's word is so awesome. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Aren't you glad that you're holy and beloved and that you are the elect of God? And I've been watching on PureFlix. I don't know how many of you get PureFlix, but this is the Bible. And it was several years back, it was like a whole series. But now they just show it. I sat there, I watched it like for 2 or 3 hours last night, Sunday. But the different disciples, the different characters were so neat. But Paul, here comes Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he is on fire. He is angry. This group has grown up, and they're saying that this Jesus was the Messiah, and he has one aim in his whole body, soul, and spirit, and that is he is going to destroy these people because they are wrong. And he knows what's right because he said under Gamaliel, the teachers, he is a smart Pharisee. He has it all together. He knows what's right and wrong. And these people have to die because they are hindering God's movement. They are hindering God. So Paul comes out and he's going to destroy them, and he's just on fire. Nothing can stop him except Jesus. And we know the story on the road to Damascus. Who meets Paul? or Saul, but Jesus. And obviously we know this story. It totally changed him. He said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" And Saul says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jesus." And he is converted and changed. And that same Saul that was crazy, just crazy mad to destroy the Christians, is now crazy mad to save the world. He's going to save the world. Didn't you know that God knew that all the time? He knew this personality could not be stopped. That this personality would just go everywhere he could preaching the gospel. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to tell people about Jesus and about how wonderful it is to have a Savior. It's really, really neat if you have a chance to watch it. But anyway, to go back to Colossians, we want to know, God, what do you want of us? How do you want us to react to the world? How do you want us to live in this world? And it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies." So what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to have tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Isn't those wonderful traits? It's so hard to do that, though, isn't it? It's so hard to do that, especially when people are so unloving. It's true. I was thinking about your wife, Lee. I called her to check. I'll explain the whole story. I called her up to check on how she was doing, and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you called." She said she's working at a convenience store, and she said everybody that had come in had been really mean. And she said, "You know, you just feel so bad for they're just working people. I mean, she's working, and these people are so angry." And so I was able to pray with her and just tell her, "I'm so sorry." But so when you guys are at the filling station or you're doing whatever you're doing, be kind to that person. It could be our own girl. Amen. So and sometimes, you know, we don't realize it how we come across. And you know, it might be an irritating situation, but it's not that person's fault. She had nothing to do with it. She's just part of it. She's just right there, wrong place, wrong time. But anyway, so we need to be careful. It says, you know, we're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to show tender mercies, have humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you almost must do. So we are told here what we must do in dealing with people. And it's not an easy thing to do, but God will give you the strength you need. So I hope God doesn't really test me on this. Have you ever said something, you know, like you're really bragging on God, you know, we can do this, and then he tests us. He says, we'll see. Matter of fact, one time my husband was complaining about somebody that he felt the person's faith wasn't strong enough in this particular situation. I think the guy broke his leg and he wasn't recovering. I don't know what it was about. But anyway, the Lord spoke to Fred's heart and said, "You want me to let you show him how it's done?" And Fred said, "No, I'll just back off right here and keep my mouth shut, Lord. Don't let me go there." So sometimes when you're saying, this is the way you're supposed to go, God says, "You know, I think I'll use you an example on that perfect situation you're talking about. So, Lord, please don't do that." Amen. But he always gives us strength to do. So it's bearing one another, forgiving one another. Anyone who has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. He says we also have to do. So it's not a choice. I don't want to forgive this person, so I'm not going to forgive them there. But, you know, whatever. Well, you don't have a choice. God says if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. This is tough. This is really tough. So it says, so you must do it. But above all these things, put on love. So above all these things, you're getting dressed for church. What do you put on first? You put on love. Amen? Amen. So we're walking around and we are wearing love. It's just all over us. It's just coming out. Amen. So when you say, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. So the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be thankful. I read all that for those two words, be thankful. So God, on top of it all, he wants us to be a thankful children. And this is one of the things. What does the world see when they see us? They see Jesus, hopefully, and they see that we are thankful children. Sometimes, and especially in the world today, it's hard to be thankful. But God wants us to be thankful regardless. He wants us to thank you, Jesus, that you've allowed me to be in this position. And that is something, another thing that my favorite saint said. This is what Mother Teresa said. I don't really go around, but she was, as a matter of fact, she was one of the quotes in the devotional the other day. Mother Teresa said this: the best way to show my gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. Isn't that good? So let me read that again. Mother Teresa: the best way to show my gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. What happens when we have problems? We grow. God uses those problems if we allow him to conform us into the image of his dear son. So when Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he says, you know, that used to be Paul, but I can't see Paul anymore. I only see Jesus. Isn't that neat, Paul? Amen. Oh, amen. So anyway, so going back to Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need strength for the battle ahead. We need strength just to get up in the morning. Amen. We need strength for whatever we're going through. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's just ask the Lord to just work that fruit in our life, that we will produce that fruit that the world can come by and take a bite out of, and we'll grow more fruit. Amen. Amen. So that's what happens when God is developing fruit in your life. Say the fruit of the world comes by and says, we'll see. Satan comes by and says, we'll see if they have any joy. But if it's really there, it will come forth. It will come forth. Amen. Amen. So are you guys enjoying this? So, amen. You guys are so kind. Another thing I remember, one time Fred was out ministering, and my husband evangelized a lot, and he was a pastor. So he calls up and he says, it's impossible for me to get home. You're going to have to share tomorrow. And I said, are you kidding? He said, it'll be fine. They love you. And I said, that's not the point. I know they love me, but do they want to sit there and listen to me? But you were very kind, Larry. You were right there cheering me on. And we survived it. We really survived it all. So anyway, God is doing it. So, okay, the 16th verse of Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that neat? Can you just see us doing that? Amen. Amen. God is so good. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So always give thanks. We have so much to, even in the tough things, God wants us to be thankful. He wants to cultivate that in our lives. So how am I doing in time-wise? Do I have, I got lots of time. Oh, that's good. Oh, no. Now people are beginning to sweat. This could be dangerous. Amen. You guys are very kind. Oh my gosh, I do have a lot. But anyway, I've been doing a lot on being thankful, having gratitude, having the joy of the Lord, and no matter what the circumstances are, just being so thankful, being a thankful child. And God is so pleased when we're doing this. Do you know how pleased you are when your children were thankful? And they're, you know, mommy, thank you, you know. And amen. Oh, amen. God is so good. So anyway, which put me in, and this is really weird because this is not a normal book that you would go to, and I probably will mispronounce it, but it's Huckabah. How do you pronounce that, Paul? Habakkuk? Okay. Well, this is a prophet. This is a prophet in the Old Testament. Only three chapters. So you guys, this is your homework this week. Read this book every day because it's so good. With everything else reading, remember Dr. Jeremiah said you needed to do this. And so you don't have an excuse. So if you go back there real quick, it's only three chapters. And it's really, really a good, it's really awesome. Because in this chapter, in this little book, this one verse that is so familiar is that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So God wants us to live by faith. And this is what this whole little book is about. What has happened in this book, if you're not familiar with it, is that Israel once more has got into big trouble with God. If you read the Old Testament, and I'm rereading the Bible, which I consider a discipline, plus I enjoy reading it until I get into Leviticus and Numbers and these books. Have you ever got there and it's 10,000 pages of 10,000 rules that nobody can keep? And you think, God, thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, that there's really only two commandments. And the first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. These are hung on all. So you really only have to keep two. So it comes down today that we only have to keep two commandments. Unfortunately, they are impossible to keep two. No. I just thought I would throw that tough, but God wants us to do it. So thou shalt love the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. And you will love each other as yourself. Isn't that neat? Isn't it wonderful? So anyway, but this, okay, Israel, to get back to the story. Israel is in trouble once again because she has goofed off. She's went to idols. And so this sort of happens in the Old Testament. Israel does really good and God blesses Israel. And then Israel falls away and God has to bring punishment to Israel. So this goes back and forth. So this is one of those times. And the prophet goes before God and says, God, the people are terrible. He says, as a matter of fact, since I have so much time, I'll just read. This is the prophet's questions. The prophet is questioning God. He says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention everywhere. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perversion, judgment proceeds. And he's telling God all these things that are going on. It sounds just like today, doesn't it? We could have picked up the paper and read it. And this is what's happened in the United States today. So the prophet is questioning God, God, how long are you going to allow this to happen? So then God replies. And God's reply is, I have noticed. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to send the Babylonians against the Israelites, and they're going to be slaughtered, and they'll straighten up. So Hagabah says, oh, Lord, that's not the answer I wanted. Why are you going to punish them? And anyway, he cries out, Lord, why are you allowing these people to come against my people? It's sort of like, so then this goes back where the prophet questions God and God answers the prophet. And that goes on for a couple of chapters. And just like with everybody else that's questioned God, God answers the way he wants to answer, doesn't he? He says, like in Job, he never answered, what he said. He said, where were you, Job, when I did all this? Where were you when I spoke the morning stars into being? Where were you, Job, when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you? Finally, Job says, I didn't know you, God. I thought I knew you, but now I know you. So anyway, it doesn't hurt to question, but God is only going to answer the way he wants to. Anyway, the second chapter, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he says to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord says, write the vision down, make it plain. And he says, the just shall live by faith. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in faith, trusting him that no matter what our situation is, he's going to work it out. No matter what we're in, God's going to work it out. And then he does this really, this is really, really beautiful. This is the third chapter. And he starts out where it's the prophet's prayer. This is his prayer. Oh, Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And that's one of my favorite prayers, especially for my country, is that in God's wrath, he would remember mercy. Lord, that you would come through with mercy, that instead of doing what you did so often with the children of Israel, you'll hold back the wrath and you'll send us mercy. And I pray for that with all my heart, that God will have mercy on our country. Not only our country, but the world. The world is in such a sad situation. But at the very end of this chapter, the three chapters in the book, he does this beautiful, it's called a hymn of faith. Now remember, he's just told him he's supposed to walk by faith. And this is called a hymn of faith. And so if we were a Jewish congregation this morning, we might could have somebody that would sing this the right way. But we're not a Jewish. So I'm not going to pretend I know how to do this. And you guys are so glad I'm not going to try to do it. So anyway, listen to this, because this is so awesome. Because this is the whole message right here. I could have just came right here and went to it. It says, this is this prophet saying, Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. I mean, things are really bad. There's no food. It's been wiped out. The armies have come. They've taken it all away. There's no calves in the stall. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. But this is what the prophet says. In this 18th verse, he says, yet I will rejoice. This is by faith. This is by faith. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome verse? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. By faith, he spoke this. And God did. As we know, Israel survived. It's still surviving today. Amen. Amen. So, and then he goes on to say, the Lord God is my strength. Where do we get our strength from? From the Lord God. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills and high places, the old King James says. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk on high hills. And if you've ever been, I had the last time I was in Montana, we normally went through Yellowstone, but this time we went through Glacier. And if you've ever been to Glacier National Park, if you haven't been, you need to go. It's so beautiful. There's the highway that you're on, the main highway that goes through Glacier. It's called the Highway to Heaven. And you feel like you're almost there. You were so high up. And there really, I really saw the deer. The what are they called? Yeah. There, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And so anyway, these deer were really doing their little thing up there. I was like, they really do this. They hang on by their little feet, and they leap from, anyway. It's really neat. Only, isn't it unique how God made all of these animals so different? I mean, he made thousands and thousands of different, even made thousands and thousands of deep of little insects. If you really are into insects, and I think that one day I was taking care of the boys, and we went out to the yard. You know, you can only do so much inside, so we went outside. And we were looking for insects. In Florida, you can really find a lot of different insects. and so Brody and Mikey and Isaac and I were out, and we were looking, and I'm thinking, gosh, this is hot to be out here. But we had a lot of fun, and they really, little boys really like insects, if you don't know that. But I remember one time, Rhonda used to play with ladybugs, and I said, Rhonda, little ladies don't play with bugs. And she said, but Mother, it's a ladybug. And I said, okay, it's okay. You can play with ladybugs. I just threw that in. But anyway, guys, so we go back to this prophet, and we see God's dealing with this with Israel one more time. And they did survive all of this. But what was so wonderful to me was that in the end, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How did he get joy? How did that fruit get cultivated in his life? Because he practiced it. He allowed it to be produced in his life. And can you imagine? Israel needed to hear that word. Israel needed to hear that word. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. So if you're really weary and tired after the day of hard work, know that God will make your feet like hinds' feet. He will let you leap from mountain to mountain. And can you imagine yourself doing that? There's this wonderful, and I know I'm rattling on, but I'm going to quit really quick. But this book that I've read several times in my life, and it's called Hinds Feet in High Places. And if you've ever read that book, it is so wonderful. I love it. As a matter of fact, Dan and I used to read this every year, at least once. But anyway, it's about a girl that lived in the village of Fearing. And she wants to go, she's accepted the Good Shepherd's. And the Good Shepherd had asked her to go to the high places. But she's afraid because her name is Much Afraid. But she's found the Good Shepherd, and he promises that he will go to the high places with her. So it's a story of Much Afraid getting transformed into this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful character. What would you say? She was wonderful. Yes, amen. Did you read it? Yeah, I let you read it. Right. I said, Courtney, you need to read this. Anyway, it's Hinds Feet in High Places, and it's about the whole story. And she does make it to the high places to be with the Good Shepherd. And she is transformed into this beautiful, beautiful lady that serves the Lord. So anyway, guys, what we need is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I don't know if I left anything out, but it's not very... And anything. Whatever is wrong in your world, face it with joy. Whatever is wrong in your world, be grateful that God is there with you. And show him some gratitude and some love. And know that God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember what Mother Teresa said. The best way to show my gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, with joy. So who's going to accept their problems with joy this week? Yes. Amen. We're going to do it. We're going to make Mother Teresa proud. No, more than that, we're going to make Jesus proud. I'm not just pushing Mother Teresa, but I do think she's an awesome lady, or was an awesome lady. She's with Jesus. She certainly set a wonderful example for us in day-to-day living. She chose to go to India because God called her there. She chose to work among the poorest of the poor because that's what God told her to do. And she transformed so much. She was a wonderful, wonderful example of what God would have us to be. And certainly she had a lot of joy in that situation. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that today. Just a little bit of what God's been dealing with me with. But remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that we are God's kids. We are kingdom kids. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, I'm a kingdom kid. Dalton, I'm a kingdom kid. Amen. So be proud of yourself. You've been adopted into the family of God. We are rich indeed. We are so rich, we should pinch ourselves. That sounds like something. That, no, you don't have to pinch yourself. Anyway, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Is there any needs? Do we need to pray and agree? Oh, I do want to share. Donna is doing some better. She is.